Chapter 3. Prana's eyes immediately landed on mine, but all I could do was smile awkwardly. I hadn't anticipated Ira asking Prana to officiate our wedding, though I supposed it made sense, considering she was a council member and Ira was a well-known warband leader. Still, I wish I'd have known so I could have asked Prana privately. The beautiful sorceress wasn't my woman yet, but I wanted her to be, and I certainly didn't want the news of my impending marriage to upset her in any way. From the way her fist was clenched, it seemed it already had. Still, I was committed to Ira, so there wasn't much I could do at the moment aside from support my future wife in her decision to ask Prana to officiate.
"You're getting married?"
Prana asked after a moment of silence.
"We are."
Ira nodded.
"We're not sure when the wedding will take place, since there's so much to do with the dragon trade right now. But I would love to have you there, and to have you officiate would be even better." "Of course."
Prana smiled, but it didn't reach her eyes, and the stiffness of her cheeks told me she didn't really feel it.
"I'd be happy to officiate your wedding, Trath. Thank you,"
Ira said, and her red hair swung out behind her as she turned and walked down the long hallway toward the exit. I couldn't bear to look back right then, so I just kept walking behind Ira, Cass, and Asta. Once we were outside, the sun hit my eyes and blinded me for a second before I started down the stairs, only to look down at my feet and realize the dragons weren't there. A quick glance behind me revealed the guards were still holding the door open as the four small reptiles slowly made their way through. Their little bellies were plump from all the treats Prana had given them, and they looked like they were about to fall asleep as they walked. Of course, thanks to Kars's enchantment, they appeared as dogs to everyone but us and the council. "You're ridiculous!" I shook my head as I bent down and scooped them all up in my arms. "Every one of you." Blar threw the top half of his body over my shoulder, and within seconds I could hear him snoring. Svas curled up around my neck, and Inger and Ufe were content to be squished against my arms and chest as I tried to hold the four of them and get down the stairs all at once. They were much heavier than I remembered them being, which was good because it meant they were growing. It also meant they were getting harder to carry, and at some point I was going to have to just let their little fat butts walk instead of rescuing them from their own gluttony. The girls had all piled into the cart, and I set the sleeping dragons down by our feet and then pulled on the one horn's reins so they started toward Ramir's shop.
"Did you see Prana in there?"
Asta giggled as we made our way down the stone road.
"She was so jealous."
Kars shook her head.
"I almost felt bad for her. I guess she doesn't have the security with Rat that we do."
"Security?"
"We know you love us."
Kars shrugged.
"We're committed to you and you're committed to us. Yes."
Asta nodded.
"You committing to someone else doesn't take away your commitment for us. And we know that."
"Well, I'm glad you do." I smiled.
"I hope you aren't upset about my asking her,"
Ira said, and she turned to frown at me. "Well, of course not." I shook my head. "You're an incredibly well-known and talented warband leader. It only makes sense Prana would officiate your wedding. She is the castle's officiate, after all." I wasn't sure why, but from what I'd seen in the books I owned, the castle sorceress, or sorcerer, was always the official castle officiate as well. But nothing I'd read explained why that was the case, but that seemed to be the way it was. I had no reason to be upset with Ira when she was only making plans for our upcoming nuptials. I knew she was excited about our marriage, and I was too. Prana being jealous wasn't going to sour my feelings on the subject. I was still incredibly excited to marry Ira, regardless of if Prana was our officiate. Of course, I hoped the ordeal hadn't upset her too badly, since I knew she wanted to be with me just like I wanted to be with her. It was simply difficult for those feelings to become a reality when I did such consistent dealings with the Council and relied on Prena, Rinbar, and Bea to assist with the dragon trade business. I'd never want to cause issues for Prena at work, either, and I certainly didn't want to draw any attention to the two of us that would make her life more difficult. It seemed, for the time being, we were going to have to let our feelings go and focus on the task at hand. Perhaps once we officially took down the dragon trade, we could revisit how we felt, but until then, it seemed better to let it go. Ah, that kiss had been incredible, and if it was all I ever got from Prena, it was more than enough for me.
Good.
Ira smiled.
I'm glad you're not mad. Though Asta and Cass are correct, Prena appeared incredibly jealous.
She did seem upset, but there's nothing I can do about that. I want to marry you. I smiled at Ira, and for once, the redhead's face flushed, and she looked down to avoid my gaze. It wasn't often I was able to embarrass Ira in any capacity, but I was happy to have made her blush, even if just for a second.
Yes. Well,
she said, and she cleared her throat as she regained her composure.
You still have to ask my father first.
I know. But even if he says no, I'll find a way.
I'm sure you will. Once you're married and we're all soul bonded, then maybe Prena will feel comfortable enough to pursue you like she clearly wants to.
Asta said with a small shrug.
I think it's more her position than anything that holds her back.
Goss pursed her lips.
Is it forbidden for council members to be with members of the community?
The elf girl asked, and her yellow eyes widened with shock.
Not at all.
Kaz shook her head.
But we don't want to draw any attention to ourselves. If Odin found out Prena and Rath were together, he might be more inclined to see why Rath was always coming around the council building. Wouldn't that make sense?
Asta asked, and she cocked her head to the side.
Oh, I see your point.
Kaz shrugged.
That would be a good way to explain it, I suppose.
Yes, but it would make our working together on the dragon trade more difficult to keep a secret.
Right. Though I think the two of you could manage if you really wanted to.
Yeah, it's good to know you ladies are also okay with me being with someone else. I blushed and shook my head.
There's no need to be embarrassed about it.
Asta smiled.
Like we said earlier, we know you love us. You could love Prena too. That wouldn't take away from your love for us, would it?
Of course not. I told her, and I was almost offended she'd even asked.
Good.
Asta giggled and shrugged.
And I don't see how we could be mad about it.
Sometimes the elf girl's way of thinking was still foreign to me. Asgardians and the elves of Alfheim had much different traditions and customs, and there were just certain things that didn't make sense about our way of life. Asta wasn't able to pick up on social cues very well yet, which meant she was bluntly honest, regardless of whether it was rude or embarrassing. But her innocence made it all acceptable. We were all quiet for a while as we rode through town toward Ramir's shop. It was about half an hour's trip, and I looked up at the clear blue sky as we rode and thought about what my wedding to Ira might look like. It didn't take long for us to get to Ramir's, and once we were there, I hopped out and tied the one horns to the post outside, and then I nuzzled the little dragons awake. Blah rolled over, yawned, and opened one eye. "It's time to get up," I told him, but he just snorted and shut his eye again, so I poked his chubby little belly. "Now!" Blah huffed and flipped over onto his feet. Then he shook his entire body, hopped down from the cart, and sat by Ramir's shop's door to wait for me. The rest of the dragons weren't nearly as difficult to wake up, and as soon as they were awake, I led everyone into Ramir's shop. The bell on the door chimed as we walked in, but as per usual, the old man was nowhere to be seen.
Father!
Cass yelled into the seemingly empty shop. Every time we went into the strange place, I saw something new on the shelves. This time it was a huge blue hand in some form of liquid I was sure hadn't been there before. But the normal rocks, feathers, and jars full of various entrails, bugs, and other random things lined the shelves of the small shop, along with plenty of books.
Father!
Cass called again, this time louder, in case he was in the back room.
Ah! No need to yell, Caspier!
Ramir said, as he popped up from behind the register.
I'm right here!
Father!
Cass gasped, and she put her hand to her chest as her breathing grew shallow.
You must stop scaring me like that!
What? I'm simply running my shop, dear,
Ramir told her with a smile.
I can't help if you get scared.
Are you sure you don't do that on purpose? It seems rather fun. Is that one of those, what do you call them, jokes?
Yes, I nodded. It can be.
Ah, you're on to me.
Ramir laughed and winked.
But I am glad you're all here. I have some things for you.
Things? I asked, and my eyebrows pulled together with confusion. What do you mean? We didn't ask you to work on anything for us while we were gone, did we?
No.
The old man shook his head.
But I did it anyway.
Of course you did. Oh, we appreciate whatever you do for us, but please allow us to pay you this time. We've got plenty of coins.
Not necessary.
Ramir shook his head.
What kind of dragon grandfather would I be if I allowed you to pay me for my grandchildren's gifts?
You're not their grandfather.
I may as well be. These dragons are the closest things to grandchildren you've given me so far.
Father!
It's not an accusation,
Ramir told her with a shrug.
Simply a fact, dear.
So what are these gifts you have for them? I asked to steer the conversation away from the current subject.
Fair,
Ramir said as he leaned down and pulled a small box out from behind the counter.
It didn't seem fair that you and Blah got amulets while the other dragons didn't.
While Ramir spoke, the dragons all scurried over and fought for pets, and Svas found her way up the old man's arm and sat on his shoulder so she could look into the box he had. Blah flew up onto the table and laid down nearly on top of the box, so Ramir had to rub his belly as he pushed him aside. Inga flew onto the counter as well, and the little red dragon pressed herself against Ramir's chest as she walked back and forth. Ufe simply sat by the old man's feet and waited to receive his pets.
Ah, I do have something for Blah, too.
He's already got an amulet.
Asta frowned.
Does this not work any longer?
It should be working just fine. I didn't make this for him. I'm only returning it.
The old man pulled out Blah's old armor from the box and held it up to show me. The small chest plate I had custom made for him, what seemed like forever ago, would no longer fit him. It was nice of Ramir to return it, since we'd obviously left it there some time ago, but I figured I'd need to buy him a new one now. It had been strange enough requesting armor for my dog in the first place, so I figured I'd have to go back to the same vendor I went to before. Apparently it wasn't a common thing.
Oh, it's Blar's armor.
Yes! It got left here at some point. I found it in the back room, so I'm returning it. Though I did make a few adjustments.
Adjustments?
Improvements.
Ramir smiled and shrugged.
Just what improvements are you talking about, old man?
Well, I figured the armor was a bit small by now, so I enchanted it to grow with Blah.
That's incredible. I was just thinking how it would be too small for him.
He's growing well,
Ramir smiled. Blah sat up and nudged Ramir's hand, and the old man laughed and tied the armor onto the little reptile's body. The metal magically expanded as soon as it was on Blah, and the little dragon preened and looked to me for affirmation.
That looks great, I told him, honestly.
The uses of magic had always astounded me. Blah turned back around and licked Ramir's hand, and then he stuck his nose into the box to see what else was in there.
Nothing else for you.
Ramir chuckled and pushed his nose out of the way.
It was very kind of you to make them amulets.
But of course.
Ramir smiled and pulled out a beautiful purple stone on a small black leather chain.
Ah, here we go.
Is that one for Inga?
Asta asked, and she leaned forward with excitement.
It is?
Ramir confirmed, and he held it out to Inga. The sweet little girl sniffed the stone, and then she let out a high-pitched squeal of delight and turned round so Ramir could clasp the necklace around her long, thin neck. Once it was on, Inga pranced around the counter to show off her new accessory.
Oh, she loves it,
Asta grinned. I thought she might like that one, Ramir said. It was the prettiest stone I could find.
She does like feeling pretty, and it goes with her yellow bow.
Oh, would you look at that? So it does. Svas scurried down from Ramir's shoulder and nearly dove into the box on the table to look for her own amulet. Yes, the old man said with an amused shake of his head. I have one for you as well.
And these will help them to harness their powers.
Ah, that's right. I made each of them with the particular dragon in mind.
You haven't seen much of Svas's powers, have you?
I'm afraid I haven't had the pleasure. Ramir smiled at the little dragon. She hasn't been part of the group very long yet.
Oh, well, we have some time before Prana gets here.
Kaas said with a small shrug.
Perhaps we could go out in the backyard and practice some before she arrives.
Yes, that sounds like a good idea. Though I didn't know Ramir had a backyard.
Oh, of course.
Kaas nodded.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of room for one behind the shop.
Asta frowned.
We're magical, remember? I've been a customer of yours for how long? And you've never shown me this magical backyard of yours.
Sorry, dear. Ramir grinned. Family only. Svas nudged Ramir's hand and looked in the box again, and then she let out a little impatient whine. Yes, yes, I'm sorry. The old man chuckled, and he reached into the box and pulled out a small pink stone on a little white leather necklace. Svas squealed and turned round several times with excitement, and then she scurried over to Ramir's hands and turned round so he could put the necklace on her.
I think she likes it.
It would seem so. It looks great on you, I told the little dragon as she pranced round for a second more. Then we returned our attention to Ufe, who sat quietly waiting for his amulet. Ramir returned to the little red dragon, smiled, and patted his head. You are so well-behaved. Very patient, unlike your brothers and sisters. Ufe just smiled and lifted his head a little bit, and then he looked over to the box where the amulets were. Ah, yes, well, let me get yours, Ramir said, and he dug in the box for a moment and pulled out a small red amulet on a dark leather cord. It suited the little dragon well, and he seemed to like it. He didn't act nearly as excited as Inga, Svas, or Blah, but he did spin round once and let out a small twitter of excitement. Ramir laughed and put the necklace on the little dragon. Unlike the others, Ufe simply looked down at the stone and walked over to rub his face against Ramir's hand.
I think he's telling you thank you.
Kaas smiled. It certainly seems he is, Ramir said, and he leaned down and kissed the little dragon's forehead. You're welcome.
I think it fits him well.
Yes, I think so, too. He seems to like it as well.
The more important thing is that it works. You were never one for pretty things, were you? I suppose I wasn't.
No, she never much cared whether her clothes or belongings were beautiful or not. I don't think she ever once asked for jewelry or anything like that for her birthday. Or any other holiday, for that matter. She was always more interested in books or tools to help her spells along.
That's good,
Ira said with a curt nod.
She's a smart woman. She is, but she's beautiful too, and she should embrace that.
I suppose it is an elven mindset to appreciate the beauty in everything around them.
Ramir smiled.
Is it?
Asta asked, and she looked at me with confused yellow eyes.
Oh, it certainly seems to be,
I said with a nod.
Asgardians are appreciative of beauty as well, but I think it is more of an elven trait to focus on it as you do.
Oh.
Asta frowned.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, no, I shook my head. It makes you who you are. Your elven traditions are a part of you the way our Asgardian ones are a part of us. I like that you look for beauty in everything around you.
It does make you kind of annoying, though. I'd rather be annoyingly happy than annoyingly sad. It's true. I'd rather you be that way, too.
Well, now that we have our amulets all given out, perhaps we should adjourn to the backyard so the dragons can practice with them.
I looked over to where all four of the dragons were, admiring each other's amulets. I think that's a good idea. I chuckled and gestured for Ramir to lead the way. Svas flew up onto Ramir's shoulder as he led us through the small shop, while Bla and Inga flew ahead and Ufe trailed along at the old man's feet. I'd always loved coming to Kars's father's home. Granted, it was more of a shop than it was a home, but it had a certain energy about it that made me feel very welcome and happy to be there. Ramir had liked me from the day we met, and I felt the same way about the old man. I'd been concerned he wouldn't appreciate me dating his daughter, but he seemed to approve before we even told him, which was nice, since I never knew how to say those things out loud. As we walked through the shop, we admired the strange but unique items on the walls and shelves. Ramir's store was oddly comforting, even though it was filled with pieces of dead animals and random twigs and leaves he probably picked up from his walks around Asgard or the other realms. Ramir led us through the shop and the sitting room we'd eaten in many times before, then into a hallway I hadn't known existed. At the end of the hallway was a large set of wooden double doors, and when Ramir opened them, a bright light splashed through.
Whoa!
Asta gasped, but it took me a few seconds to recover my eyesight after such a blinding light hit us. Once I was able to fully open my eyes, though, I understood her sentiment. The door we looked through led to a huge open area that there was no way truly existed outside of Ramir's shop. Kars hadn't lied when she said it was a magical backyard. Not only was it created by magic to be incredibly large, but the foliage and garden looked like it had come straight out of Asta's homeworld. There were large fruit trees all along the back fence, along with some smaller bushes and a big garden area in the center. There was also a large fountain with several birds bathing in it, some smaller trees for decoration, and plenty of flowers to line the fence. Soft green grass filled every other spot in the place, and a small stone pathway led from one part of the backyard to another. I thought I had taken everything in, but as I looked around once more, I realized near the fruit trees was a small pond. A splashing fish caught my attention, and I had to shake my head to clear it and make sure I wasn't seeing things. I thought the courtyard at my home was impressive, but Ramir's was incredible. They must have spent years and years cultivating the plants and getting the area to look just right. Even with magic, I knew that wasn't always an immediate fix, and I was sure the entire place had taken him a good amount of time. His hard work showed, and it was clear from how many animals were there that he put a lot of time and care into creating a nice space for them and himself.
This is your backyard?
It is, Ramir nodded. I could have sworn you all saw it at least once before.
No.
Asta shook her head.
I think I would have remembered that.
That's probably true. It's not a very forgettable backyard.
Who else knows about this place?
Ira asked as she stepped onto the stone pathway and turned round to get a good look at everything.
I'm not sure. Ramir shrugged. I do believe it's just Kars and I, though maybe a few others here and there who I've had over a lot. It really is beautiful.
It is. But my vegetables don't taste quite as good as yours. You'll have to show me your gardening tricks.
Somehow I don't believe you, but I'll be happy to help you however I can.
Phil!
Kars said with a small clap.
I think it's time to try out our new amulets.
I think they already are. I laughed and pointed to where the dragons were in the garden. Bla and Inga were flying around as they played with each other, and Bla used his teleportation abilities to disappear and reappear every few seconds. Ufe was on the ground, and he hit his tail on the ground and picked up huge dirt clots larger than any he'd managed to get before.
Svas used her fire powers to breathe up into the air, and I watched as she held a huge flame for a good 30 seconds before she couldn't hold it any longer.
I think that was the largest flame I've ever seen her hold. Me too.
I wonder if it's due to the amulet or the fact she's growing.
She is getting larger, and I'm sure that has something to do with it, but I think it's more the amulet than anything. Thank you again for making them, Ramir. Anything for my grand dragons. He smiled.
Do you think we should help her?
Svas was the newest dragon of the group, and though she'd developed her skills early on, they were still imperfect, and she could certainly stand some instruction.
I'm not sure how. Inga's power is air, and I understand that since it's like the wind, but fire isn't my specialty. I'm sure we can figure it out.
Ira said with a wink at me. Yes, I'm sure you're right. I agreed, and I called out for Svas to come over to us. The little yellow dragon eagerly flew toward Ira and me, and once she landed, I leaned down and patted her on the head. Oh, that was very good, I told her with a smile.
Yes, quite impressive.
Ira nodded, and Svas made a little cooing noise and looked down bashfully. Now, I want you to try something new, all right? Svas's reptilian eyes narrowed seriously, and she sat up straight and gave me a hard nod.
A willing soldier, if I ever saw one.
Yes, most definitely. I chuckled, and I turned my attention back to Svas. All right, first, let's have you try to hold your flame for even longer. It doesn't have to be the biggest flame you can do. Just hold it as long as you can.
Good idea.
Ira nodded.
This will help her see what size flame is good for different occasions.
That's exactly what I was thinking. She doesn't always need a huge flame, but it will also help her build up the skills to hold larger flames for longer. Ira looked me up and down and then turned back to watch Svas out in the garden. What?
I just can't figure out why you never went for the position of Vorband leader.
She said with a small shrug.
You know, I suggested you for the position several times.
You did? I asked, and I felt my eyes grow wide with surprise. Of course I'd been asked if I'd like to move up a few times during my time with the Warband, but I'd never considered myself much of a leader, so I'd always turned the position down. None of my brothers respected me, so I didn't see how I was going to lead an entire group on my own.
Absolutely. You deserved it. I was always surprised when you continued to show back up to my group.
Well, I liked my warband.
Why?
Ira asked with a half smirk.
We both know it was full of arseholes.
Yes, maybe so. I smiled. But you were there.
You're telling me you declined a better position just to stay in my warband?
The redhead scoffed, but her cheeks flushed with color all the same. Yes, that's what I'm saying. At least partly.
What was the other part?
I was just never interested in leading. I shrugged, and Ira burst out laughing. What? What's so funny?
Sorry, it's just,
She shook her head and gestured all around.
I mean, look, you're the leader of 3 women and 4 dragons now.
I wouldn't say I'm the leader. We're a team.
Ugh, whatever you say.
Ira smiled and turned back to watch Svas in the yard. The little dragon still had a flame going, but it was dying down, and I could tell from how stiff her body was that she was struggling to hold it. She was determined, though, and the flame continued for another few seconds before it finally went out. Svas turned toward us, smiled, and coughed out a small cloud of black smoke. That was incredible!
You did very well.
Now that you know how long you can hold your flame, I want you to try and manipulate your fire, I explained as the little dragon landed in front of us again.
Is that even possible?
Ira asked, and she turned to me with pinched together red eyebrows. I'm not sure. I shrugged, but it doesn't hurt to try.
No, I suppose not.
The redhead nodded.
This is also new to me still.
Well, it's only been a few months for us as well.
Yes, but you're magically inclined, I'm not.
I shook my head at her wording. I never thought I'd hear someone refer to me as magically inclined, but she was correct. There was something special about my connection with the dragons, and I had no other way to describe it aside from being magical. Svas, I want you to try and wrap your fire around that tree over there, I instructed.
Don't be concerned about harming it either, dear.
Ramir smiled from where he, Asta, and Kaz sat at a small table and watched us.
It's easily fixable.
You heard him, I told her with a grin. Go nuts! Svas's reptilian mouth pulled into a smile before she flew up and over to one of the fruit trees. The little dragon looked around quickly, and then she let out a fire blast toward the tree. I watched her large pink eyes narrow to slits as she focused on her flame, and suddenly the fire started to bend. It was so slow at first that I wasn't sure I'd actually seen it, but after a moment, it was clearly making its way around the tree. The flames shot out from her mouth in a straight line, and then as soon as they made contact with the tree, they wrapped around the side instead of enveloping the trunk as they would usually do.
She's doing it. Of course she is.
Ira grinned.
She's a talented little thing.
Svas's flame sputtered then, and after a few seconds it died down. Then she flew to the ground and sat with her head hung low.
Well, that was wonderful,
I told the little dragon as I walked up and patted her head.
Oh, don't look so upset. You're doing great.
And I'm sure you'll be able to manipulate your fire however you want soon. It'll just take some practice. Svas cooed and nuzzled my hand for more pets. I could tell she wasn't happy that she hadn't been able to get her flames to do what she wanted, but her skills would take practice, regardless of if she had the amulet or not. Her having the amulet only meant her powers would be better harnessed, so she could control them more easily. But the stone didn't magically teach her how to use them. That was something she still had to learn. The little dragon already had excellent control over her abilities, especially for only being days old. All the other dragons, and Asta, Kaz, Ira, and me, continued to practice improving our battle skills. A warrior must also be a student, willing to learn and improve at all times.
Rat!
Kaz suddenly yelled, and my hand immediately went to my sword as I turned toward her. I followed the line of the strawberry blonde's finger to see Inga and Ufe flying through the middle of the garden. Only they weren't flying. They were riding on a piece of dirt.